Good morning again. We are continuing our series of talks on crucifying personal sense. It has now been 24 hours since the last talk, and some amazing things have happened. As I have entered into this experience, now we said in the last talk that the place to begin the crucifixion of personal sense is in our meditation. Most of us came into the Infinite Way looking for principles we could apply to our human problems in order to find solutions, spiritual answers. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly fine. That's the way we're supposed to come in. And so we learned through study of the books, the writings, perhaps listening to the recordings, we learned the letter of truth. So that when we would sit down to meditate, immediately truth statements would pop into our mind. And our mind would remember the truth that we had learned. In some cases, the truth we had memorized. So that if I saw a discord, I would sit down and immediately I would close my eyes, and immediately the mind would start speaking to me, and it would say, this is a mental image. This is an appearance. It has no law, no life, no substance, no cause. There's no spirit in it. It's dead. It's just a mental image, a nothingness. God didn't create it. And then the mind would swing over into the truth. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And because of omnipresence, the Spirit of the Lord is right here. And so liberty is right here. God is the only cause, the only law, the only substance, the only activity, the only presence. And then when we would sort of lean back and rest and say, Father, thy will be done. Thy grace. And we would be still for a few seconds. Then we would open our eyes and go about our business. And that was the way we practiced treatment. We denied the power or presence of the appearance, and we affirmed the omniscience, the omnipresence, the omnipotence of God. And I used to have a little fun with this. I remember going into Walmart parking lot in a busy holiday weekend and practice a little bit of the presence, and lo and behold, a parking space would open up right in front of the door. Another time, practiced it with the weather. And what do you know, the rain eased up and stopped right at that moment. Oh, we practiced it with all kinds of things. Someone I knew had a cough, and without talking to them, I practiced this a little bit, and within a few minutes, the cough went away. They didn't even notice, but I did. So we had plenty of experiences over the years of practicing the metaphysics of the Infinite Way, didn't we? And this was perfectly fine. This was exactly how Joel wanted us to come into our beginnings in the infinite way. Because this is how you learn the letter of truth, so that in any situation you can close your eyes and the mind will remember that letter and repeat it back to you. And it's great. And we had sometimes miraculous healings. I've seen people in the fit of an argument yelling back and forth. A little application of the truth and it calms right down. Just amazing things. I know you've seen them too. And that gets us excited. And we persist. And so, over the years, and I say years, most of us, those of us that are listening to this, should have had these experiences in which the application of the letter of truth to specific problems brings results, brings harmony, peace out here. If you haven't had those types of experiences, again, I repeat to you, you should not be listening to this talk, because this talk is for those that have had those experiences and are ready to go further or deeper or higher. I don't care what adjective you put on it. It's for the next step. So, we want to know specifically, how do we, in our meditation, crucify personal sense? Because that's the next step. But remember, in this new type of meditation, remember what Joel told us? He said, when we agree to leave these old landmarks, we enter a state of consciousness with but few guideposts and even fewer aids. In this new land, you will find yourself much alone with God. It will become necessary to make your direct contact with infinite being, with the infinity of your own being. Now it will no longer help you to talk about God, to pray up to God, to lean on God, even to think about God. Now you must become one with God. You must consciously feel, and he has that in quotations, feel your oneness and receive direct illumination and guidance. And at first, in this new way, when you close your eyes in silence, there may be a sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach as you realize, here you are at last, alone with God, and God is nowhere yet in sight or hearing. It may be like swimming in an ocean and all of a sudden realizing that you have gone out of sight of land with no guidepost to tell you which direction to head for. The first experience when you turn into the silence without words, thoughts, or statements can be very confusing and doubt-engendering. It will require patience and perseverance. So what is he talking about? Why, I haven't felt like that when I've gone into meditation. I've gone into meditation and the mind immediately steps in there. Okay, what's the truth? What's the truth that we know about this situation? Well, in 1947, or even a little earlier, Joel introduced the Infinite Way and the students of the Infinite Way to this meditation that we talked about to begin, that of knowing the truth with the mind. 8 or 9 years later, in 1955, he decided to begin what he called special work, which was to introduce to the students a completely new mode of meditation. A mode that was so drastic that he knew it would make you very, very uncomfortable, because it was a crucifixion of personal sense. Now, when up until this point, when the students closed their eyes and knew the truth in their mind, well, let's just put it this way. The human mind is the natural man that cannot receive the things of God. The human mind, knowing all this letter of truth, when you close your eyes and you hear it start thinking these truth statements or these scriptures, that's the very mind that must be crucified, because it's a personal mind, isn't it? My personal mind might know more truth or less truth than you. You might know more truth or less truth than me. It depends on how much you've studied over the years. How many quotes of scripture do you know? Probably more than I do. That's your individual mind, my individual mind. That's a personal mind, and it must be crucified. And oh my God, I've been leaning on that mind to know the truth all these years. What am I going to lean on now? This was the place the students found themselves after Joel, in these Kailua study series, began to introduce to them the new mode for meditation. And so he started by saying he could throw out the entire Bible and keep but one statement, one passage, but that one passage should be taken very seriously. And that passage was, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Up until now, you see, we've sat down to meditate and we've lived by every thought of Scripture. Every thought that came to us from our mind. Every remembrance of Scripture. Or every statement of truth that we could recall. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Remember, Joel said in several places, when you sit down to meditate, you must recall every bit of truth you can recall. Remember? But now he's saying he's going to take us higher and deeper. He's going to bring the students into an initiation to a higher level of consciousness. And if you have applied these principles over the years and come to that place where they're no longer working, yet you still know and sense and feel that the truth is in the infinite way, then you too are ready for this initiation. And so it starts with knowing you can no longer live on statements of truth. Somehow you must find every word that proceedeth from God. Somehow, you must receive an impartation, not a thought in your mind. It's something different. And so we enter that place where we are ready to launch out into the deep. The deep, infinite pool of being. And as Joel says, it's a scary thing. There's nothing to hang on to. There's no guidepost, no landmarks. So he says here, as he's giving this class on a new mode of meditation, everything that you can think of is an effect. there must be another ingredient besides what you can think of. It must be something that had no existence a second before. You see, up until now, we have gone into our meditation and immediately the mind has repeated back to us the letter of truth that we've learned. Now, there's nothing wrong with that except for one thing. You and I know it's no longer bringing results. What results? Well, demonstration of the presence of harmony, peace, love, joy. And so the answer to that, the next step, your initiation, your crucifixion of personal sense begins with you knowing, from now on when you enter your inner temple, it must be to receive something that had no existence anywhere before. Something so brand new that it had no existence. Therefore, it can't be a statement of truth that you've memorized. It can't be anything from the letter. You see how he says there are no guideposts and there may be a sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach? That sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach is the crucifixion of personal sense, of this personal mind. And it has to happen in you in order for you to launch out into the deep and to receive the blessings the Father has that are something which had no existence before. So he tells his class, that we are seeking the grace of God, and we don't know what that is. No idea at all. And that the preparation for receiving this grace are periods of absolute silence, not knowing any truth with the mind. Even though in those 3 or 4 minute periods, when we seem to be getting nowhere, we seem to be receiving nothing from the deep within us, we seem to be making no progress, don't give up on that account. And so he tells us what we're going to do now in this new mode of meditation in which we crucify, cross out the personal mind. He introduces to the students this mode of meditation in which we learn how to listen. Even though the mind is squirming and wanting to tell us statements of truth, we are pounding the nails in. We are crucifying that mind. We are saying, no answer. I am here only for the grace of God. And then we are having a 30-second or 60-second period of waiting. We're not sure what we're waiting for. That's why we are uncomfortable. But it has to be something which had no existence before. Something the mind does not know. And so, he says, now there's a 30-second to 60-second period of waiting. Just for that little interval of silence in which and through which we receive the assurance of the presence. But if we do not receive it, do not be disturbed. This is only the first day of our 5-finger exercise. We have to keep on 11 more times before we fall asleep tonight. And then again tomorrow, and tomorrow's tomorrow, and tomorrow's tomorrow, until in a moment ye think not. The feeling comes, the intuitive sense comes, an awareness comes, a conscious awareness of the presence, that realization of God's grace. So what he's telling the students is, from now on, if you would crucify the mind, the personal sense, you must crucify your personal sense of meditation. You must crucify every one of these methods you've used up to now to know the truth. Cross them all out. You are allowed to stand on nothing. You are allowed to lean on nothing. You are allowed to remember nothing. You must launch out into the deep. Again, those of you that have practiced this other way of meditating, in which you personally know the truth for many years, this has qualified you for this next step. Those of you that have not done that, you need to go back and read in Practicing the Presence, Living the Infinite Way, and The Art of Meditation, and you must practice the truth. That's the only way you can learn the letter. And you cannot go directly to the spirit. You must pass through the letter. And that's what's happening here. The only way you can awaken to the spirit is to crucify personal sense. You can't be in personal sense and experience the spirit. You can be in personal sense and experience a memory or words about truth. But I'm assuming, if you're listening to this talk, you want to crucify personal sense and experience truth, the spirit, directly. That you want to launch out into the deep, even though it makes the mind, the personal mind, very squirmy. It doesn't matter. Pound in the nails. No, I'm not listening to you anymore. Something brand new must come, and it must be from the deep. And so I am here to listen, to wait. And he says here, you must practice this 12 times a day. 12 times a day you must enter and have that 30 to 60 second period of silence, not remembering, speaking, thinking, any statements of truth, waiting for something new to come up out of the deep. And what that is, you don't know. And if you think you know, that's again that personal mind that must be crucified. Now, in the same class, he says to the students, this process, or this mode of meditation, will lead you to see eventually why the chapter, The New Horizon, emphasizes that the entire human experience is illusory, and that there is no substance in it, no life. It exists only while we perpetuate it in thought. When we've dropped it from thought, it's dead. You see, the very thought that is forming, that is the fabric of the entire human experience, which is an illusion, that very mind cannot, your use of that same mind cannot dissolve itself. That's why the application of truth with that mind, or the application of statements of truth with that mind, cannot produce harmony. Because that mind can't heal that mind. That's why we have to go farther. The purpose, the motive of this work, he says, is to attain divine grace. Not attaining peace, prosperity, health, or home, but attaining divine grace. Because when you have crossed out, crucified that personal mind, then grace takes over your experience and lives your life. Something flows up out of the deep. Which is the word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. That's that something new that flows up out of the deep. And it takes over your experience, lives your life, performs those things given to you to do. And it can function only when you have crucified, when you have crucified personal sense. You will reach the point, he says, if you wait patiently these 12 times a day, you will reach the point when you will be able to say, aha, I felt it. I felt it. That's something new out of the deep. I have, for the first time at will, entered the divine Shekinah. The divine Shekinah. The presence of His glory. As you continue to practice this, you will be able to say, I can walk in and out at will, and no man can take it from me, because I have finally attained it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Do you understand that in your meditation, you must develop this new mode of meditation? You must cross out, crucify a personal mind that would know the truth. Do you understand that? Do you understand how squirmy it gets because it does not want to be crucified? Do you understand why you have to practice it 12 times a day for 3 to 4 minutes? It is because the mind does not want to die. And that is why Joel says, I die hard in the wisdom. It really is like putting that mind on a cross and hammering in the nails, and it's squirming, and it's yelling, and it's objecting, and it does not want to go. But there can be no resurrection. You cannot be lifted into this divine Shekinah until there is a crucifixion. You must pass through this initiation so that you are no longer ever again knowing truth with your mind. You must pass through this initiation from the letter to the spirit. You must come out from those worn out husks of the letter of truth, which you have memorized these many years, which you can spout off like, well, like pressing a button and listening to a recording. Some of you, I can press that button and you'll spout it right out. But it's dead. Yes, it's all the right words, and it worked once upon a time, but it's dead. And so you must pass through this crucifixion. You must crucify personal sense, crucify personal mind, and any truth that you ever thought you know, that you ever thought you knew. You must walk away from all of that. And it's going to be very uncomfortable. You're going to be sitting down and saying something like, well, I'm here for the grace of God, something brand new to come up out of the deep, something I've never known before, a meat that I've never known. And then you're going to sit still and wait just like this. And that was your 30 seconds. And in those 30 seconds, if you feel nothing, if you do not receive any impartation, anything new coming up out of the deep, you are to open your eyes and forget about it. 12 times a day you must do that. 12 times a day you must return. Again and again and again. And you must be very, very honest. No one will be there with you. You must be very honest so that the mind does not trick you and go on. You are to crucify that personal sense of mind in your meditation. Totally, completely, so nothing is there but the silence. And you do not fill it with something you know, or something you've learned, or something you've read. And the mind does not fill it and imitate, and try to imitate the Christ. You must crucify personal sense in your meditation. And here's what I will tell you. I will give you one tiny guidepost. When you experience this something new coming up out of the deep, you will know it beyond the shadow of a doubt. It is something totally different than you've ever experienced in your meditation before. You won't even have to ask. And so if you have any kind of a doubt, was that it? Was that it? No, it was probably the mind pretending. The mind that's supposed to be crucified in this experience. And so, Joel continues with the same class here. He makes it even more specific. Because not the class following that, but the next class, he continues on with this new mode of meditation and what we need to do. And he says, in the past, we have been trained, and rightly so, he says, to immediately dismiss the appearance, to disregard it, even if it was only mentally. And then we tried to realize that the law of God is the only law, the presence of God is the only presence, the power of God is the only power. We have been taught that regardless of the nature of the erroneous appearance, we were quickly to realize that there is no power apart from God. Therefore, there is no power in this effect, or this circumstance, condition, disease, or belief. And we have been taught that since there is only one substance, there is no such thing as material substance, decaying substance, or aging substance. And so we have been taught in all of our experience to apply mentally the letter of truth until through that, what we called treatment, we arrived at the consciousness of truth or the experience of it or the realization of it. But now we are doing something completely different today. In this special work, he says, we are going higher than that. We are assuming that we already know the letter of truth. You see, he's trying to take all of us into this initiation. So with that as a basis and a foundation of our consciousness, we are ready to take the next step, which is the experience, the God experience. And in order to have that God experience, that experience of something new coming up out of the deep, it requires no words or thoughts. Words and thoughts now will only be a detriment. So if you're sitting down into your meditation these 12 periods a day, and you are still having words or thoughts, you're missing the mark. Now he says, I do not even know whether it's going to be possible for this work to succeed. And so he's giving this to the class, but he doesn't even know if the class is going to succeed with it. It's a matter of divine grace, he says. Our only responsibility is that our desire be for it, and that it is an experience of something brand new coming up out of the deep. And the deep is, of course, God. The very first difficulty, he says, you will experience in ceasing from the old form of meditation is when you begin to observe out here a discord and in harmony. Because your first reaction will be to return to the old way in which you were originally taught. You will deny the error and know the truth. But now, from this point forward, I want you to take an entirely different approach and see what happens. Make a special note of what happens in you. Now, the basis of our new approach is this. No activity of thought can heal. Why? Because that's a personal mind, a personal sense of existence, trying to heal a personal sense of existence. Why, that's insanity, isn't it? It won't work. It's time to crucify that personal sense of self in your meditation so completely that you dive into the deep, not knowing what will come. And so, as you observe discords and harmonies out here in the world, you are going to take no thought about them. You're going to take no thought about Scripture. You're going to take no thought of statements of truth. You are going to stop. Stop and take no thought, no opinion, no judgment, no statement, no denial, no affirmation. You are not going to let the personal mind into this picture one bit. You are not going to think this is no part of God. You are not going to think only the activity of God is here. You are going to crucify personal mind. If you must declare something, you are going to declare from now on something that is not pertinent to what you are seeing or observing. If you declare something that's pertinent, you have entered the personal mind. You have come into battle. You're not going to do that. You're going to crucify that mind by not joining it. So, let's see what that means. Let's say that somebody calls you up tomorrow or this evening and they say to you, Joe, will you please pray for me? I've got this terrible headache and I've got to go do some public speaking. I really don't want to take 5-Anacin or aspirin or Aleve or whatever. Could you help me, please? What are you supposed to do in this new mode of meditation. You are supposed to say, "Yes, I will help you right now." You are to hang up the phone, and that's where the mind wants to come in with a lot of statements of truth, and you're going to say, "Uh-uh." Then you're going to close your eyes and say something that has no pertinence to this situation, such as, that is, if you have to say something to yourself, because not everybody does. Some people can go immediately into the silence and wait. But if you're not one of those and you have to say something, then you're going to say something that has no bearing on this situation. So the person calls you and says, "I have a headache. Will you help me?" You say yes. You hang up the phone, you close your eyes, and yappity yappity yap, the mind starts with the letter of truth. You say, "Uh-uh. No more." And then if you must say something, you say something that has no pertinence, such as, "I have meat to eat the world knows not of." And then you stop. Oh, the mind. The personal sense mind does not like this one bit. It squirms. It tries to get out from under. "You can't nail me to this cross. Why, I've been running things for 30, 40, 50 years. And it tries to put statements of truth in your mind against your will. And, oh, it's a struggle in the beginning. He says it's a struggle. But patiently, you persevere. Nope. 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 You are launching out into the deep. You will not accept anything that's ever been in existence before. It must be something totally brand new coming up out of the deep. And if you don't experience it while you are meditating for your friend's headache, you are supposed to do it again in a little while, and again, until you've done it 12 times a day. Now, listen to this. This is from The Journey Back to the Father's House, and it is exactly what we're talking about right here. And Joel says, in the chapter called The Temple, he says, "The real, the spiritual crucifixion is when you yourself see how you crucify yourself. When someone asks you for help, and you have to train yourself not to give it. Not to try to reduce the fever. Not to try to reduce the lump. Not to try to overcome deafness and blindness. You will see how you are crucifying yourself, your personal sense, your do-gooding sense." Now, every time you can restrain yourself from trying to improve human conditions, you are crucifying personal sense and rising into the higher state of spiritual sonship. And I know we read that before, but I felt it was worth repeating, because that's going to make you very uncomfortable. Your friend is asking for help. You agreed to give it. And now you sit down and you cannot give him any personal help at all. Oh, it makes you very uncomfortable. What am I to do? I promised. You are crucifying personal sense. You are crucifying this personal mind. You are going to leave all of these nets and you are going to launch out into the deep. That's what you're going to do. And you are going to stand there just as uncomfortable as Joel was when he stood at the foot of the bed of that man that was dying in the hospital. And he knew if something didn't come up out of the deep, there was going to be a funeral. And you are going to stand there the same way. And you are going to wait and wait. And you are going to be, well, a sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach, Joel says. And this may go on for several days, for many days. But go on it must, and go on it will, as you practice your 12 times a day, going to the temple and waiting. Again, I repeat, when you see a discord, when something's brought to you, you are to meet it with something that has no pertinence at all to the situation. And so somebody says, I lost my job. Will you work for me? You say, yes. You go within your inner temple and you recognize I'm launching out into the deep. No, thank you, mind. Please be still now. And if you must declare something, it can have no bearing on the situation. So you might declare, I am here. And that's all. Well, what does that have to do with supply? Nothing. And that's exactly what you want to do. You want to apply nothing out of your mind, out of the personal sense of mind, I mean. You are to apply nothing out of that mind to the situation. You are to stand stock still. You are to stop. Thy grace. And you are to wait 30 to 60 seconds until something brand new, never before having existence, comes up out of the deep. Now, he says, in this approach, you no longer have to be a medical doctor, changing sickness into health, and you are no longer a metaphysician, turning discordant human condition into a harmonious human condition. You are waiting for Christ to reveal itself. All right? You see how radically different this is? Now, he's going to give you an example here. Yeah, that's the one I just gave. I forgot it was next. So let me read it to you in his words. I remember a healing that took place many years ago. It came out of the clear blue sky. When I was standing in the presence of a man, very ill, and given up for dying. And the only thing that came into my mind was, man does not live by bread alone. Now, do you see, I'm asking you right now, listening to this talk, if you were standing there, and the person was dying, and you were taking this new approach, and you said, well, nothing I know in the mind can help this guy. He's going to die. There's going to be a funeral tomorrow. Unless something comes out up out of the deep. Now, Father, flow. And then all of a sudden, you received an impression totally different. It didn't feel like a thought. It came from somewhere else. And it said, man shall not live by bread alone. What does that have to do with this picture? There's no pertinence at all, right? Now, please don't sit down and try to think of something that has no pertinence, because you'll be back in that same mind. You must receive something, and it's different. and he'll explain that to you. He says, that had no more application to the scene I was looking at than anything you can imagine. But the healing was instantaneous. Why? Because it didn't come out of that personal sense of mind. That was crucified. It came out of the deep. The healing was so instantaneous that the man who was lying under an oxygen tent signaled for the nurse to take it away, and 2 days later he was out of the hospital. You say, well, Joel, you had no part in that. And I admit it. Because I didn't think a thought consciously. That was something that popped in. Now, had I made that up with my mind to fit the case, the healing would never have taken place. And that's why I say, don't search around in your thought for some truth that will be applicable, because you will miss the mark. The further away you can get from any statement that applies to the situation, the better off you will be, and your patient, and your own experience. See that? This is a totally brand new initiation. You're going to crucify personal sense. Now, there's a lot more to say on crucifying personal sense. We're just talking here right now how you do this in meditation. Because this personal sense of mind must be crucified, in order for you to be resurrected up into the deep. Now, the point that I'm making is this. In being aware of the discords of human existence, do not draw on denials and affirmations. Instead of drawing on your head, on your thinking, on the truth you know, from now on, stand stock still and let the Father give you whatever is necessary for the situation. That's the way I do when I'm called on for help, he says. You all have noticed my attitude. It's always one of listening. And then if I have anything to say, I say it. Now this is in order to bring you the experience of the Christ. You turn within and you wait until something comes to you. It doesn't have to come in words. It doesn't have to come in thoughts. Eventually, you'll find that it comes in just a feeling of release. And then you know all is well. Now you see, don't imitate that release. Stop that. You're crossing out, crucifying personal sense, this personal mind. You don't know what that will feel like. It has to be something totally brand new, never before in existence, that comes up out of the deep. That is the experience of the Christ. And the method? Do not engage in thought. Stand still. If you must think something that has no bearing on the situation, such as divine grace, and then stand still. All right, so that is how we begin to practice our check that. That is how we crucify personal sense in our meditation. That's how we crucify the personal sense of mind. That's how we are resurrected into the deep. That is how Christ begins to function us. And it is something brand new that has never been in existence before. Coming up out of the deep well of contentment, the deep pool of spirit, the infinity of your inner being. Quite another level than knowing truth. And you must practice this with every discord that comes to you. And you must practice this at least 12 times a day. And in the practice, the mind, the personal sense of mind, that's where it's crucified. And the actual practice is hammering in those nails. And then Christ will be resurrected out of the tomb, out of the deep. It will move up out of the deep, and you will feel it. And I'm telling you, it will be something that you've never felt before. And of course, whatever's true in the discordant pictures must also be true in the harmonious pictures, because it's the same mind producing the entire illusory human experience. Therefore, Joel says, later on, you will follow the same method with all of the harmonies in your experience. Because once you have achieved the slightest degree of success, the next thing will be that will present itself to you is this. If you look at a 12, 15-year-old child and think how beautiful, how sweet, this pure, innocent, sweet, healthy, clean child is going to be a doddering old person or a sinful person. Because you know human good won't remain. And so you will learn to follow the same practice when you see youth, health, vitality, and wealth. You will learn to look right through it. Don't you understand? Don't you see? You have said you want to have that mind which is in Christ Jesus. How can you have that mind if the personal sense of mind is not crucified? You can't. First, crucify that personal sense of mind through the method that we have outlined. Then you will be resurrected into the mind which was in Christ Jesus, which sees through the entire illusory human experience. We close off our mind, that personal sense of mind, we crucify it. And then we allow the Christ to reveal the true nature of being. And that's all there is to it. That's it. Now, the first difficulty, he says, is going to be, as you behold evidences of sin, disease, death, lack, and limitation, and are tempted to jump in and know some truth. But what I want you to do from now on is to stand aside. Stand stock still. And maybe you'll realize, or you'll declare, or you'll see, I am the way. You say that's meaningless. Good. The more meaningless it is, so let it be. We do not want thought or reason to meet a situation or memorize truth. But Christ, through Christ, the Christ which passeth all your understanding. Christ is the activity that takes place in your consciousness when no thinking is going on. Now, we've all read this. We've all heard this before. But we didn't know what the actual practice was. We didn't know we would have to crucify that personal sense of self. But now I'm telling you, personal sense of mind must be crucified before you are resurrected into the mind which was in Christ Jesus, into the Christ. And so do we see how we crucify personal sense in our meditations? There is much more to say, and we are going to say it in the next talk or two or three, as we continue our crucifixion of personal sense. We still have to talk about crucifying a personal sense of supply, a personal companions, personal health, life, body. We still have to talk about the necessity of crucifying a personal sense of people, which is accomplished and attained as we practice the Christ forgiveness. So there is much more to talk about, but where I was instructed to start is in the crucifixion, crucifying personal sense in your meditation, so that something comes up out of the deep. Christ can function you. We'll leave it there today. I feel I love you all. Love is coming up out of the deep for you. I feel it. Until the next talk, I bid you adieu and Godspeed. But remember, it must be something totally brand new, never before in existence, coming up out of the deep, deep inner pool of being.